Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
God, this morning, He is unstoppable. We're going to raise Him high in this place today, thanking Him for what He's done for us.
Heaven thundered, and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you formed. Faith commanded, and the mountains moved. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shout.
Sing Nothing is Impossible with our God this morning. Do you believe that today? Would you raise your voice? Sing out as we sing that together. Here we go.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Sing it one more time.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Sing Unstoppable God, here we go.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Oh.
I hope that you are expecting great things today, that we have a God that nothing is impossible for. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning on this Labor Day weekend as we celebrate God's goodness here together at Peckway Church. I'm going to invite those here in the house to look inside of your bulletin. You're going to find a gray connection card there. Online, you're going to find a connect link in the chat window. But we ask everyone to fill this card each week out. Sorry if I didn't say that. Fill this card out each week, whether this is your first time with us or you've been here many, many times. If you're a regular attender, you can just write your first and last name on that card. And we ask you guys to put that in the box, everyone, at the end of today's service, in that gray box as you exit. But we'll have that card a little bit later, as we hope that you'll make some decisions today. Every time we come and hear God's word, it's always our hope and prayer that God is changing our hearts. We're allowing him to do that, to change our lives. And so there's places on the back of that card, online as well. There'll be another link that you can indicate if God is doing something in your heart and life and you want to know more information about how you can take that next step with him. Or if you want to know about what's going on here at the church, that's a way that we're able to connect. And then more importantly, well, maybe not more importantly, but also just as important is the place there, that blank spot on the card where you can write your prayer request, or if you have a comment, a question, you can do that there as well. And it's online too. But for example, we do have a great event coming up, and I hope that you'll make plans to come, and that's going to be our church-wide picnic that we're going to have at Lancaster County Park on the 17th of this month. There's information in your bulletin about that, so make plans. But you can know about that, other things through family news, things that you'll get, but you have to let us know through that card. So please take a moment sometime today to do that. Also, if you're a first-time guest with us, whether you're online or in person, you can just simply take out your mobile phone and you can text the word hello. You see it on the screen to the number 717-872-5679. You do that, you get a real quick text back, reply to that prompt, and then we're able to connect via chat. Well, we are continuing our sermon series. We've been talking about what kind of legacy are we leaving. Today, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be a child of God. When we come and give our hearts and lives to God, we become adopted children. And so as we continue today, you know, we walk through this process of talking about forgiveness and loving and all of these things. So what does it look like today to be a child of God? So notes are there in your bulletin. They'll be online in that chat window that you can see available for you a little bit later in today's service. But I want to invite you to stand once again as we continue our worship, singing about God's grace today. What story are we writing? What story is God writing, more importantly, through the grace that he's given us? So let's sing.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Of when justice was served and when mercy wins. Of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. And if I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. was served, and when mercy wins of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. This is my story. Justice was served, and when mercy wins of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Of when justice was served, and when mercy Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. I'm going to invite you to be seated. Thank you for singing that. It's beautiful to hear you sing those words. And if you know Jesus, that is your story today. A story of justice through the blood of Jesus, of His mercy, and of His grace. And it's God's grace that we're talking about here this morning as we're singing these songs, as we're focusing on Him and what He's done for us. And maybe we're in a couple of different places today. Maybe you think that I don't deserve God's justice, His mercy, or His grace. Or maybe you think, because of that reason, that maybe you've done something that's so terrible that you think God's grace can't forgive. But I'm here to tell you today that it can. Or maybe you think, I'm doing pretty good. I don't need grace. You know, I'm at a great place. Things are going well for me. But we all stand in need of God's grace. And so my prayer is that today, whatever place you're in, that if you have met Jesus and you know that grace, but maybe you need more grace, that you need more understanding of what that is, that you'll ask Him for that today. Or that if you're in the need of God's grace and forgiveness, that you will let Him do that for you today. So my question is, have you met God's grace?
Hi, I'm Grace. Have we met? My name means unmerited favor, but those words are just fancy words for getting something you don't deserve. Remember that time when you got caught in a childish lie, but instead of being sent to your room, your parents gave you a big hug? Or that time when you had just gotten your driver's license and the officer looked into your terrified face and let you off with a warning instead of writing that ticket? Or maybe we met the time your husband asked you to drive the car, but you did it anyway, and the tow bill cost him his tickets to the ball game. But instead of anger, he met you with compassion and a mocha latte with extra whipped cream. Perhaps it was the time your wife asked you to meet her at a long-awaited dinner party, but you forgot. And instead of frustration, she came home with your favorite takeout.
Or maybe it was the second time you forgot something she said, or perhaps the 83rd. Or maybe you don't know me. You see, I can be hard to find in this world. The world is full of karma. You know, you get what you deserve, and what goes around comes around, and judgment. So if we've never met, I'd like to introduce you to Jesus. I know that sounds cliche and religious or pious, but I'm completely inseparable from Jesus. You see, just as the world is full of judgment, Jesus is full of grace. And Jesus will look you in the eyes and see into your soul, knowing every single wrong choice you've made, every bit of shame, everything you've successfully hidden from the world. And he will see it for what it is. And then, instead of judging, he will forgive. And then he will introduce you to me. And once you know me, your shame, your regrets, your sin, well, I take them from you. You see, I'm grace, and I take you in your darkest hour and guide you into the welcoming arms of a forgiving Savior. I'm grace, and I would love to meet you.
Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound.
That saved.
An alcoholic.
Failure.
Agnostic.
Partier.
Liar.
Drug addict.
A wretch.
Like me.
I once was
broken.
Resentful.
Helpless.
Depressed.
Out of control.
Abandoned.
Selfish.
Self-destructive.
Angry.
Confused.
Just lost.
But now,
I'm sober.
Happy.
Peaceful.
Grateful.
Free.
Alive.
Forgiven.
I'm found.
I was blind.
To God.
To faith.
To love.
Pero ahora, yo veo.
I see that I matter.
I see past my problems.
I see my Savior.
I see grace.
Amazing grace.
Would you stand as we worship together, singing about God's amazing grace together this morning?
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing Lord.
God, we thank you that you are forever ours, and we are forever yours. We thank you today for your amazing grace, your grace that allows us to know you, to have this relationship with you, God, and be called your child. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. We thank you for this quiet moment, God. Perhaps in this moment there's someone who is asking for your grace today, your pardon, that unmerited favor that we just heard about a few moments ago, and that adoption that we have as we come to you when we pray for that grace, where we pray for forgiveness, where we ask you to be our Savior, and that redemption that takes place, that exchange. You bring us from darkness into light. So in this next few moments, God, as we hear your word, as we hear what it means to be your child, God, would that grace, would that forgiveness, will that love be cemented in our hearts and our lives today? And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, worship team, for truly laying, I couldn't think of a better foundation than the message of grace for the foundation of the message we're going to look at this morning. And I was reflecting again, I shared it last week, but believe it or not, we have been in this series since June. And in this series, if you're just joining us, whether this is your first time, second time, but in this series, we've been looking at how our family of origin can impact us, for good or for ill. And also in that process, not just kind of looking at how it can impact us, but how we could break free from the cycle, those patterns of dysfunction or brokenness or pain inflicted upon us or inflicted by us perhaps, so that we don't repeat those patterns ourselves. And in that process, obviously over that number of weeks, we've covered a lot of ground. And really where we began, if you can remember, we began by looking at how, as I said, our family of origin will, for good or for ill, will impact us. And we talked specifically, and that's really where we began, we talked specifically about the fact if it's for ill, It marks us, it scars us, it wounds us, and it can even leave us limping the rest of our lives through life, that we really can become broken people because of the impact, the negative impact of a family of origin. And for that reason, we went on to talk about the need for us to forgive the sins that were committed against us and to us, the pain that was inflicted upon us. And then we went on and said it wasn't enough to simply forgive, we needed to forget. And you remember, if you were here, I said that forgetting is not God giving us amnesia, but rather it was God enabling us to let go of the past, the pain of the past, the hurt of the past, and to move forward. And so at that point, we took an important turn. We made an important detour, and we began to move from working on the process of forgiving and forgetting, and we moved on to the process of how do we form a healthy family of our own? How do we forge a truly functional family starting with ourselves? And so we talked in that very first week when I got back from vacation about how do we leave our family of origin? What does that look like to actually form our own family? We talked about taking responsibility, personal responsibility for our lives, regardless of how we were raised. And then we talked about the necessity of starting and forming a new future by starting and forming a new family, a healthy family. And at that point, we said, and we went on to say, the best way for us to counteract, and this was last week, how to counteract the curse, using biblical terms, that generational curse, that dysfunction, that pain that we experienced and had passed on to us, the very best way to deal with the curse was to do the biblical opposite and begin to bless our family, to bless our spouse, to bless our children. And that brings us today, and I promised you five steps, and today's the fifth step. And here's what I want us to understand about this step. This step shapes every area of our life. In fact, this step will determine who you are and who you can become. This step will form your family, it will affect your marriage, it will shape your parenting. This step will determine how you handle your finances. It'll be how you handle your career. But most importantly, as it relates to this series, this step is the most important fact when it comes to whether we will or whether we won't break that cycle, whether we'll break free of the dysfunction, whether we'll break free of the pain and the hurt that's been passed on to us. And if you've probably guessed, if you've looked at the message notes, been listening and tuned in to Pastor Scott all morning long, then you realize that step is actually a decision. And that decision is, will we or won't we choose to become a child of God? And it is a choice, and it is a decision. And I want you to understand this, and we need to understand that. I think most of us do understand this. But the reason that choice, that decision, is so important is the fact that while some of us had that father-shaped hole in our lives that we talked about at the very beginning of the series, back at Father's Day, while some of us had that father-shaped hole in our life filled for us completely and very well by a biological father, many of us did not. Either because our biological father was never a part of our life, we never knew him, or he separated from us, separated from our mothers, whatever the reason was, he wasn't a part of our life, or if he was a part of our life, the relationship we had with him wasn't good, perhaps even healthy. Or the third option was we had a relationship with our father and it was a good one, but the reality is, for whatever reason, perhaps for no other reason than our father was imperfect, those certain facets and aspects of needing to be fathered, those aspects of what it looks like to have that father-shaped hole filled in us, our father, biological father, simply was not able to fill. No fault of his own, perhaps, just his own limitations, his own family of origin. But the reality is, for some of us, for whatever reason, for many of us, there still exists this father-shaped hole in our lives, which is why we've been saying, excuse me, all through this series, God has a deep, deep passion and heart for those of us who have a father-shaped hole in our lives. And it's also why God wants to fill that hole by becoming our Heavenly Father. Not just in concept, but in reality. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at God as our Father, being children of God, but not in some vague, abstract, theological, or philosophical way. We're going to look at it in a very practical way. We're going to look at it in a way that God is understood by us as a living, personal being who wants a relationship with us. Now, as soon as I say that, I know many of you, those of you my age perhaps or have grown up in the church, you're thinking, well, Jerry, how else do you think about God? How else is there to view God than as this personal living being who wants a relationship with us? And I get that. And I've lived in the church long enough that that's how I think. But we need to understand, folks, that that is not how most Americans view God. Did you know that? That is not how most of our peers, perhaps you're here today, and I don't say that in a disparaging, disrespectful way. But in my research this week, in preparation for this message, I came across a study done by Pew Research Center. And they discovered, and this stat isn't going to shock you, they discovered that 9 out of 10 Americans believe in God. And that probably doesn't surprise us. But what would surprise you, perhaps, is the fact that when they drill down on that and they say, well, talk to us about the God you believe in. What they discovered was most Americans, 9 out of 10 Americans, simply view God as this higher power. They simply view God as this impersonal force. And some of you recognize perhaps where they got that from. But they do not view God as this living, loving, personal being, this being who wants a relationship with Him, this being that you and I understand to be God, that's revealed to be God in the Bible. But because God is a personal, real, and personable God, He does want to be our Father. He does want to father us because He knows. He knows. Like none of us fully understand that many of us were never fathered, or if we were, we were not fathered well. And even deeper than that, we need to understand that the reason God so desires to be our Heavenly Father is because each and every one of us, all of us, are spiritual orphans, truly spiritual orphans. That's why Paul wrote this, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And folks, here's what I want us to understand. When we allow that fact to become a reality, a personal reality for us, I promise you, it is the surest way to fill that deep and big hole in your life, that father-shaped hole that many of us have been living with all of our lives. But for that to happen, for that to become a reality, we have to make a decision. And that decision is we have to be willing to come to God as a son, as a daughter, and allow Him to truly father us. Which, folks, is at the very heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Or if you prefer, it's at the very heart of what it means to truly be a Christian. That's why John wrote this. Yet to all who received Him, there's the choice, to those who believed in His name, there's the decision, He gave the right to become children of God. And why Paul wrote this, so all who are children of God, so you are all children of God through faith, again, there's the choice and decision, in Christ Jesus. My point is this, you and I have to choose to allow God to adopt us into His family. It's not automatic. And that choice is of critical importance because being a Christian, and I was reminded of this just this week, just the other day in a conversation, folks, that is crucial, that decision's crucial because being a Christian entails more than simply believing that God exists. It entails more than simply believing in the deity of Jesus. It entails more than simply believing some other core facts to the faith, as essential as they are. Being a Christian at the core is about you and I becoming children of God, by God adopting us into the family. But as soon as I say that, I recognize, because I shuffle along on feet of clay too, I've shared with you a bit of my story, and so I know for some of us, that's a very difficult concept and a thought for us to embrace. And the reason why is because we do not feel we are worthy or deserve God's love and acceptance, and Scott alluded to that earlier. And I want to be honest with you folks, and we talked about this in one of the first messages in the series. The research says the reason many of us struggle with that is it could be traced back to our family of origin. It could be traced back to the fact that as we were growing up, our mothers, our fathers' love and acceptance for us was conditional. In other words, what I mean by that is if we did things that pleased them, we got their love and affirmation. But if we did things that displeased them, or weren't to their liking, they withheld that love and affirmation. And so the reality is when we think about our own moral failures, when we think about our own lives, when we think about our foul-ups, our sins, Many of us take that experience with our parents and we project it on a God, and we feel like God would not even want to associate with us in light of what we experienced in our family, let alone call us and own us as his own child. That's the last thing we think God would ever want to do with us, and so we try to earn God's love and acceptance. But here's what we need to understand. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. In fact, what the Bible teaches, folks, and this was the most important thing I discovered in my journey in my early 20s as I came to Christ, is when God thinks of us and when he views us, he doesn't do it with contempt. He does it with compassion. He does it with love and in compassion in his eyes. For while it is true, this is what many of us have heard and we've got stuck here, and it is truth, but it's incomplete truth. While it is true that God hates our sin, and he hates our sin because of what it does to us, what it does to our own personal life, what it does to our relationships with others, what it does with our relationship to him, even though God hates our sin, God loves us as sinners. He loves us totally and completely, which means he loves us not in spite of our flaws and failures. He loves us in the midst of our flaws and our failures. And he loves us so that we can change. He doesn't love us only if we change. Does that make sense? God loves us. His love empowers us to change. And that fact, folks, needs to sink in deep for some of us so that our understanding of God's view of us changes. That understanding that God does not look at you with contempt when he sees your failures, he sees your sin, but he looks at you with compassion, needs to sink in. And here's what I want to say to you. Because your very existence is God's declaration that he wants to be your father. It's God's declaration that he wants to have a father-child relationship with you. The very fact that God willed you into being, and he willed every one of us into being, is a declaration that God wants you as his child. He wants you as your child. And we need to talk about that for a moment. I want to talk about that issue of being a child of God, because there, again, is much misunderstanding about what it means to be a child of God. So let's talk about it in general. Let's talk about it in specific. Yes, in general, I think it's appropriate to say that all of us are children of God because God created us and God loved us. But folks, we only become a child of God in the specifics that John and the verses we just looked at and Paul are talking about. Folks, when we put our faith in Jesus, or as John said, as when we receive him and believe in his name. And the reason that's true, because each and every one of us, at some point, I would say multiple points in our life, have chose to do things that have severed our relationship with God. Didn't just damage it, it severed it. But the good news is, and this is the hope of the gospel, this is the hope of Christianity, that relationship can be restored if we'll ask Jesus to forgive our sins. For when we do that, what happens is God in that moment adopts us as his child, as his son, as his daughter, and we become in that moment the person God created to be. What you need to understand is his prized son. We need to understand we become his precious daughters. And in that moment, God speaks over us and to us the same affirmation he spoke to Jesus when he was baptized. For I want you to take a look at the next verse on your outline. Here's what Luke records about the baptism of Jesus. He said, "A voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy.'" Now again, what's interesting, most of us go, yeah, I understand how God could say that about Jesus, but I don't think God could say that about me. You need to understand. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you become a child of God, God says that very same affirmation over you. He speaks those very same words to you. He looks at you and says, "You are my dearly loved son. You are my dearly beloved daughter. And you bring me great joy." And that's why John wrote this. He said, "Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing us to be called children of God." And this is my favorite part of this verse. "And this is not just what we are called, but what we are." God doesn't declare a fiction. He makes us literally adopted sons and daughters. And the very best thing about that, the thing that some of us need to hear, if this is the only thing you hear today, folks, the greatest thing about that is in that moment, And from every moment forward and every moment before, there's nothing you could ever do to make God love you more. And there is nothing you could ever do to make him love you less, because his love for you is not based on your performance. It's based on his person. It's based on his character, not your conduct. God's love for us is unconditional. And that's why Paul wrote this. May you be able... Let me put glasses on. It'll be easy to read. And I might be able to read. May you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. Now, take that in for a second. Paul says, no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we work, we will never see the end of God's love, nor will we fully know or understand it. It is truly an unending, incomprehensible, amazing love. But here's what I want us to understand. God, in fact, when he adopts us into the family, he changes our identity, but he does not leave us there. He does not leave us simply with a change identity. For in that moment, he also calls you and I to live in light of it, to live in light of that identity. Because I would suggest to you, a change identity really is of very little use to you or me if it doesn't change how we actually live. And so what God wants us to do in that moment is allow our identity to shape how we act and react, not only to him, but to others and even our own life. He wants us to change how we relate to the world. For being his son and daughter, again, is not just a title. Becoming a son or daughter of God is truly a new operational reality for us. It is how you and I should face and interact with life and reality from that moment forward. So having said that, let me say this. Let me ask this question. Is that how you relate to God? Do you relate to God as a father? And I ask that question, folks, because the truth is, and I've been a pastor now for 30 years and a Christian 45 years. The reality is, the painful reality is, far too many people, including professing Christians, I've observed, have a terribly unhealthy and a fear-based relationship with God. And I don't mean that to cast stones. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, folks, far too many people have an unhealthy, fear-based relationship with God. And as a result, because that's how we see God and relate to God, we don't relate to him as a child would his or her father, certainly a loving father. And yet that's exactly how God wants us to relate to him. That's exactly how God wants us to respond to him as his beloved children. And I would suggest Jesus went out of his way to teach us that. Over and over again, Jesus taught us that. But I want to give you one great example, I think a profound example of Jesus teaching that. And it was when his disciples asked him, how should we pray? And when they asked that question, Jesus said, this is how you should talk to God. Pray along these lines. Talk about these things with your Heavenly Father. In fact, rather than just paraphrasing, let me read it for you. Here's exactly what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive our sins, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And folks, I absolutely believe with all my heart, and I'll confirm it when I get to sit down with some of the disciples in heaven, but I'm absolutely convinced that there was one phrase in all of that explanation of how to pray that absolutely shocked the disciples that day. And it was the phrase, an English phrase, and in Greek it's just one word, but it's our English phrase, our Father. I think it totally stunned the disciples to hear Jesus use that. And the reason why is because Jesus used the Aramaic word Abba. And the reason that would startle them is nobody ever in human history to that point in time had ever dreamed, let alone used that word in direction to communicating to God in that way. And the reason why was because Abba was the most intimate word that a little child would use for his or her father. It was a simple word, an intimate word. Which is why biblical commentators often suggest that the best translation for Abba is simply daddy. In some linguists that you could read, even go further than that and say, actually, the best translation for Abba is dada. That first utterance of most children, the first expression that they have for their father. Because that expression is an expression of affection. It's an expression of intimacy. It's a simple expression. It's a sincere expression. So what Jesus was literally teaching his disciples, and what his disciples and his listeners heard that day, is simply this. Jesus was saying, when you pray, do it in a way that reveals intimacy. Do it in a way that reveals sincerity. Do it in a way that reflects simplicity rather than fear and formality to your Father, your Heavenly Father. Because your Heavenly Father deeply, deeply loves you and cares about you. And He wants a close, caring relationship with you. So when you talk to Him, do it with intimacy. Do it with transparency. Do it with sincerity. Do it like a child who crawls up in the arms of his or her father as an infant, as a toddler. And just speak your heart to God. And so, folks, that's the good news. The good news is that God wants a close relationship with you and with me like that. A sincere, simple, and transparent relationship. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. Far too many, not just in America, but even in the church, far too many of us are either unwilling or unable to go there. And the reason why, more often than not, traces back once again to our family of origin, specifically our fathers. Because if our father was stern, if our father was relationally distant or cold or even cruel, folks, then our tendency is to project that image up on God and assume that God relates to us in the same way, that God must be cool and cruel and distant. But here's what I want to say to you. If that was your experience and you struggle to this day, you're okay with Jesus as a friend, you're okay with follower of Jesus, but when you think about God the Father, you become uncomfortable. And I just want to say to you, folks, please don't let the pain of your past, the pain that it was caused intentionally, unintentionally, by your biological father to keep you from God, to keep you from God your Father. Instead, I want to encourage you to let it lead you to God. And here's the reason I say that. That longing that you have in your heart, perhaps even today, for a father who is functional, a father who is loving, a father who would always be there for you no matter what, a father who would always accept and affirm you, love and protect you, that longing for that kind of father, you need to understand, can only fully and completely be found and fulfilled in God your Heavenly Father. Every other father, including myself, will disappoint you at some point. But not God, your Heavenly Father. That's why Paul wrote this. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. Instead, you should behave like God's very own children, adopted into His family, and listen to this, calling Him Father, dear Father. Can you be honest with yourself for just a moment? Is that your pre-reflective response to God the Father? When you think about Him, talk to Him, to just call out, Father, dear Father? If not, and Scott's already talked about this, folks, you need to understand that's why Jesus was sent by God the Father. It's why Jesus came. Not only so He could show us how to have a relationship with God restored, God the Father, but He could actually make a way for our relationship with God the Father restored. For all the stuff that you and I have done to undermine and destroy that relationship with God the Father, Jesus took it upon Himself and carried it to the cross on which He died. And when He died, folks, He paid the price for your sins and mine. And then the most amazing thing, no other world religion comes even close to this. Jesus tells us that then He offered that payment for your sins and mine, to us as a gift. And so He said, it is finished. And that's why He said this, and I want you to notice the next couple of verses on your lines. That's why Jesus said this, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it's also why Paul wrote this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And again, I want us to be clear. I don't want to make any assumptions, folks. We need to be clear. As simplistic as it might seem, we need to understand when Jesus said no one, he meant no one. And when Paul said everyone, he means everyone. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've become, he said everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, even you, even me. And so this is how I want to end today. Pastor Scott and the worship team are going to come back out, and they're going to sing a song for us. And as they do, I want you to think about what you want from God. I mean, truly, have you think about what it is you want from God? Do you want him to be your father? Do you want God that way in your life? Do you want God to function and relate to you as your heavenly father? So I want you to listen to this song. And then after the song is done, I'm going to come back out. And those of you who said, you know what? That's what I want today. I want to accept God as my Father. Then I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. For now, I want to just encourage you not only reflect on those questions, but to look at the words and pay attention to the words on the screen.
Carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again. Again, oh, 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 oh. I adore my condition, free from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Oh, deep in my chest, your mercy.
My soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon. My soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh.
So is that what you hope for? What your soul has been longing for and you couldn't put words to? The good news is, if it is, you can stop hoping and longing. It can become a reality. And the best news I have to ever tell anyone in this role as a pastor is, folks, that reality is just one prayer away. Just one conversation with God away. So here's what I want to do. If that is the longing of your heart today, I want to give you a chance to fill it. And so I want to ask you to do is, if you're ready, just to bow your heads with me and close your eyes, all of us, and let's just have a word of prayer. And so my question to you this morning is, are you ready to have God as your Father? Ready to have your sins forgiven? Ready to become God's beloved child? If you are, then I'm just going to invite you to say something like this in your own heart. And you don't have to repeat the exact words. I'm just going to guide you. Because the attitude of your heart is far more important than the words that come from your heart or from your mind or from your lips. So just say this in your heart, something like this. Just begin by just simply saying to God, God, I need you. I'm tired of the way I've been living my life. I'm tired of living as an orphan, a spiritual orphan. I want to come back home. I want to come back home to be your son. I want to come back home to be your precious daughter. I'll give you just a second. In your own words, silently in prayer, just say that to God. I need you. Now I want to invite you to just ask Him to forgive the choices, the actions, the attitudes, the lifestyle that you have known, that you've engaged in, that you knowingly know has dishonored Him and broke His heart and hurt yourself. So just ask Him to forgive everything that you're aware of that stands between you and Him. And then just tell Him you want a new beginning. I'll give you a second. You could just say that again in your own words to God. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to give you a new beginning and a fresh start. And now I want to encourage you to tell Him you want His leadership in your life. That you don't only want to know Him and have Him in your life as your forgiver, but you also want Him to be in your life as your leader. Just say to Him right now, I want to know how you want me to live. And then with your help, the help of your Spirit, I'm going to live that way. And now thank him for doing it. Thank him for forgiving you. Thank him for the leadership he is going to provide in your life from this moment forward. Take a moment and just thank him not only for changing your identity, but changing how you're going to live your life from this moment forward. Just take a moment and thank him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fact that you have promised so clearly in your word that if we'll ask you to come into our life and ask you to forgive our sins, you would and will do it. And so, Father, I just want to thank you for what you are doing and have done in these last few moments in people's lives. And, Father, for those who have crossed that line of faith, who have begun that relationship, restored that relationship, maybe for the very first time in their life, I pray that you will watch over them and help them as they seek to not only just know you, but now to grow in their knowledge of you and in their relationship with you. I pray that you will keep them and bless them. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, if you prayed that prayer this morning, I want to be the first to congratulate you and say welcome to the family. And I would also ask on that gray connection card, if you did make that decision, would you let us know about it? Online, you'll have that link in the chat window as well that you can indicate that today. Or maybe you want to know a little bit more about what it means to follow Christ. What does it mean to give your life to him? Well, we have a class that's coming up very soon here. It's in your bulletin. You can find it on the website, I believe, as well. But Pastor Jerry is going to be starting a class called Starting Point. It's going to be on Wednesday. September 13th is when it starts there. And so maybe you have questions about who is Jesus? What does it look like to follow him? That's the place for you to ask those questions, that starting point in knowing what a relationship with Jesus is like. Also, there's many other great things that we're going to be doing starting on Wednesdays and some I see other nights of the week, but Bible studies that you can become involved in that are going to help you understand some of the spiritual principles that we live by as Christians. So I encourage you to sign up for those. You can write those on the card this morning as well, and you can also do that online. And lastly, thank you so much for your generosity. That's how we are able to provide these things, resources. We're able to stream online and those kind of things. If you would like to give today, there's envelopes available in the pews in front of you. There's going to be a link and on the in the online chat that you can click on to give as well. But you can drop these gray cards and those envelopes in the gray box as you exit this morning. Thank you so much for your attention today, and invite you back again next week to worship together. Have a great Labor Day. Thank you.